Sure, we're going to do a reading tonight from Isaiah chapter 9. I think Jack is going to share tonight on certain messianic prophecies, and so I want to just sort of whet our appetite and what the Tanakh has to say about our coming Messiah from Isaiah chapter 9. It said, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Isaiah chapter 9. And for those who know it, I'm going to chant Eitz Chaim. Please join in. We don't have the slide. Eitz Chaim hi lemakatzim ba v'tomecha meushar derakecha darkenu am v'kol nativotecha shalom. Hashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva chadesh, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu kekedem. It is a tree of life, speaking of the word of God. It's a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and happy are those who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Turn us, Lord, to you, and let us return, renew our days as of old. The Word of God. We have an honor tonight to be, actually Jack Meadows is going to be, just before I introduce him though, I thought it'd be helpful for us, I don't know about you, but I've been under a lot of stress lately. And I think Mike even said that, so I thought before we have our sermon, we'll do a quick little stress test. And what they actually discovered was at St. Mary's Hospital in Washington, D.C., they did a study, and they found that people under stress, even shown identical images, will see differences in them. And actually, the greater the stress, the more deviance they would find in the images. And I actually, so I brought an image here, and it's got two identical, dolphins. And, you know, I saw some differences, and I realized I was under stress. And so I thought we'd show it, and just how you can reflect on how your stress was for the day. Okay, Robert. So tell me if you see differences in the two images. The more differences you see, the more stress you're under. Did anyone see anything? I found little differences in the tip of the dolphin and a little on the back fin. That's about it for me. Okay. Go back to that. Okay, so I thought, you know, we can cast our burdens now after we felt that stress. Okay, good. Yeah, that would be a good idea. I'm sorry. I saw the image and I loved it. You know, I had to. I'm sorry. I'll show more self-control, more spirituality next time. Huh? That's it. Sorry. I did it for Greg. I knew Greg would like it. But tonight, Dr. Jack Meadows is our speaker. He is the chaplain, actually, with Jews for Jesus. Jack is a Jewish believer in Jesus. He was a graduate from Dallas Theological Seminary. He was a pastor for many years before getting his doctorate from Trinity as well. And a fascinating passage on the scepter of Jacob, right? From Star of Jacob, from Balaam's Numbers 24. It's a great passage and a very controversial passage. Actually, his doctorate on the passage. But Jack has since that time become one of our trainers in New York City for our new missionaries to come on, and also chaplain for the ministry. And I've asked him, since he's in the area with our branch, if he can share with us tonight. Dr. Jack?
Dr. Meadows. Well, if you all were like me when you saw the stress test, I think we saw more differences than, what's his name over there, than Garrett suggested, so I thought we need to have a little bit of stress relief. So I'm going to tell a joke, okay, a Jewish joke. Okay, and Moshe, you know, my friend Moshe was raised in Brooklyn, and he was just a good Brooklyn boy, but as he was growing up in Brooklyn, you know, the Cowboys were his heroes, and he always wanted to ride a horse. And in Brooklyn, he doesn't have that many opportunities, so he saved up his shekels, and he went up to the Catskills to a Jewish dude ranch when he was old enough, and he went in there, and he prepared himself, and then after he checked in, he sauntered out to the corral, and he says, "I want to ride the horse." And the corral keeper, who was a Gentile, looked at him and says, "Have you ever ridden a horse?" He says, "No, I've never ridden a horse, but I want to ride the horse." So he says, "I have just the horse for you." So he brings this horse out, and he helps Moshe to get up on the horse, and he's sitting on the horse. He says, "Now there's only four things you need to remember with this horse. When you want the horse to start walking, you go, oi. If you want the horse to go a little bit faster, you go, ve. And if you want the horse to go full speed, you go, oi ve. But you have to remember one thing. You hold on to these things. If you want to stop, you got to go, shalom, and pull back on the reins and go shalom." And he says, "I can do that." So he says, "Okay, let's go." He says, "Oi." And the horse starts walking a little bit, and he's bouncing around a little bit, and he says, "Oh, this is not so bad. Let's go vey." And he goes vey, and the horse starts sauntering and cantering, and he's bouncing more, but he's still having a good time. And he says, "Oi, this is good. Oi, vey." And the horse just goes, and he takes off as fast as he can go, and he's having a great ride. Moishe's holding on for dear life. Then all of a sudden, remember, he's in the Catskills. He sees this cliff. And when he sees the cliff coming, he starts pulling back on the reins, and he goes, "Shalom, shalom, shalom." And he pulls, you know, just like the movies, the horse comes to the screeching halt right on the edge of the cliff. And he stands up in the stirrups, and he looks over the cliff, and he goes, "Ay, vey." Okay. Okay. Now what I want to do tonight, I'm not going to teach anything new. I just want to share just a few passages from the scriptures about the coming of the Messiah. And you know, if Alice and I were coming to town, or if I was sending Alice without me, and this beautiful woman is coming, I want to be sure that you would recognize her. And if you were waiting for her to come, if she's coming by herself, you'd not only want to know what she looked like, you're going to want to know, where's she coming in? When is she coming? So I can tell when she comes, I can recognize this beautiful woman, I'll be at the right place, and I'll be there at the right time. Now, God has done that for us. As you work through this, and you're going to find me doing this, because Garrett said that I need to stand here. Because normally I don't. I'm a wandering Jew. And I go all over the place. So that's what God has done for us. He's going to send his son. And he has given us pictures in the scriptures about his son, about how our people could recognize him. So when he came, they would be able to be prepared. And what I want to do tonight is just very quickly share four pictures of his coming. That the Lord says it's so important that you recognize him, that I'm going to give you four different pictures. Okay, the first picture is the one that we're all familiar with. I mean, we read the scriptures right after Hanukkah, usually. During the Christmas season, you read Isaiah 7:14. All the goyim are talking about Isaiah 14, and they're saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And you read a little more, some of the scriptures, in Isaiah 9, and Isaiah 9 tells us about this one who's going to come, this child. And you know, it's interesting, about 2,000 years ago, there was a great expectation among our people. From 100 AD BC to 100 AD, there was this looking and there was this expectation that this was the time that Messiah, the Mashiach, was going to come. And so God prepared our people. And he told them when the Messiah comes, he's going to be the child of a virgin. A virgin will conceive. And he says, when this child comes, in Malachi 5, he says this child is going to, right? Micah? Okay, see, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I'm getting old. Okay, we'll use that. Okay, in Micah 5, you know, Bethlehem Ephratah, he says this is where the child's going to be born. And so he's going to be born of a virgin. He is going to be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And we have this expectation because of Daniel 9, which we're going to look at a little bit later, about the timing and waiting. And then we're told a little bit more about the beauty of this one who's going to come. And in Isaiah chapter 9, God says, now this baby, this one is going to be, because I not only want you to know when he's coming, I want you to know what he's like. And we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Have you ever really just sort of chewed on that verse? What's the difference between a child and a son? Right? And we're told that a child is born, and that's the baby that's born to Mary, but we're saying that this child that is born is a son who is given. You know, in Proverbs 30 it says, tell me who the name of the son, God's son. And there's the expectation about God's son. And we read in the scriptures, and we know in John 3, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. And so we're told when he comes, where he's coming, that he is a child, but he's more than the child, he's a son. And he's God's son. And this son, we are told in verse 6 of Isaiah, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay. Now since I'm here in a Messianic congregation, I'm going to have to, and I got it written down again because my mind forgets, I'm going to say some Hebrew. Right? Okay, where to go? Okay. Pele, Wonderful. We go to Yoetz, Counselor. You go to El Gibor, right? You go to the Mighty God. You go to Aviad, and we go to the Everlasting Father. And then you go to Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And, you know, our people, I know as a, when I was growing up, if I ever read this passage, I never understood what it was saying, because what it said in Isaiah chapter 9 was they transliterated Pele, Yoetz, you know, all the way down to Shar Shalom, and I didn't know what it meant because my Hebrew was that weak. And that's what they did in the Jewish Publication Society, so that when we read it, we couldn't understand who he is, because God wants us to understand who he is. He is wonderful. How many here believe he's wonderful? He is the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. Right? Believe that? If you don't raise your hand, you better. Okay, he's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. So this first coming, when he's coming as a baby, God not only wants us to know the time, but he focuses us in on the reality of who he is. It's not just enough to know the Son is coming. But he wants to create this desire. I mean, if Alice was coming and Garrett and Nikki had never met her and I wasn't coming, I would have to write, and I would write, glowing descriptions of her beauty so that you could hardly wait till she got here and see if it's true. And it is, right? And that's the way God did it. He's creating that desire. He's creating a thirst that we would know him when he comes. So that's the first coming. That's what we could spend a lot of time on the first coming, but Garrett said I only had 2 hours tonight, so I'm really not going to be able to do that. Right? Goyim will laugh at that. Jews are too serious. Okay, so what's the second picture? Okay, what's the second picture of his coming? And turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And God is telling us in Isaiah 40 that as this child grows up, there's going to be a time when he's going to be introduced to our people, when they're going to see him as a grown individual. And it says there's going to be someone who is going to come, who is going to proclaim a voice in the wilderness, who says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And it's interesting as we are being informed again about a second time when he's going to be presented and should be welcomed and recognized, that's the word, by our people, we are reminded again of his intrinsic worth. That it's the way of the Lord that's being prepared, it is the glory of God that is going to be seen, that he is God. Now, have you heard that anywhere else in the scriptures? You remember seeing anything like that? Yes? No? Interactive? Not interactive here? Okay, yes, no, yeah. How about, again, John the Baptist, when the religious leaders of Israel came out to question him in the desert, and they wanted to know, are you the prophet? No. Are you the one we're waiting for? They were waiting for the Messiah. He says, no. Then he says, who are you? And he says, I am a voice in the wilderness saying, prepare ye, proclaim ye the way of the Lord. And he claims to be a fulfillment of Scripture, preparing the way for our nation to recognize God as he is going to be presented to them. Okay? Now, in a way, you and I have that same privilege. Right? John wanted to fade away into the background, but he wanted to push forth Yeshua into the foreground so people would see him, that people would know him. And you and I have that same privilege, that through us, you and I, we can say, prepare you the way for the Lord. He is God. He is Yeshua. He's the one we're waiting for, and he's the one we are trying to tell you about. So this, again, was the presentation. Second presentation, his entrance into his ministry. There's another aspect which ties in with this, which in this Christ in the Passovers we talk about, that what John was saying when he saw him coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And that gives us another picture, which our people don't want to see, of the Lamb, Passover Lamb, who's going to come and to die and to be raised again. But the presentation into his ministry, and when he's presented again, he's presented as God. Now there's a third time. By the way, I mentioned that we're just going to mention Daniel chapter 9. I believe that the reason that there's so much expectation at this time is there was a broad understanding of the prophecy in Daniel 9 about the period of time until the presentation of the Messiah. And the rabbis and some were having expectations during this time. There are many false messiahs that had presented themselves during this period of time. So there was this expectation. That's why the people, as you look in and listen in Matthew 12, when Jesus healed a man in the temple, and the people were saying, is not this the son of David? And they looked to the Pharisees. They had to rely on the religious leaders who knew the word to tell them when Messiah came. And the religious leader said no. That was a rejection when he came. So we have his birth prophesied and telling us who he is. We have his entrance into his ministry prophesied, and we're told who he is, because there's God's trying to create this desire for him when he comes. And then there's a third point where he is to be recognized. And turn with me. Well, let's look first of all in Daniel. Let me just read from Daniel chapter 9. Okay. And we're not going to go into, let's get the right chapter, it would always help. Daniel Okay. Okay, where'd it go? I know it's here. Right tab. There we go. 9:24, it talks about the 70 weeks are determined. Verse 9:25, it talks, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore. We talk about the 69 weeks, and after that period of time, Messiah would be presented and Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. And we are told in the scriptures that Messiah will come to his temple. Messiah would be presented to the nation of Israel, and he would be rejected. But now, when is he going to be presented again, the third time, to the nation? And let me just read in Zechariah chapter 9. Okay, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes unto you, he's just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass. And the third time that he's going to be presented to our people is when he's riding into Jerusalem as the king, but he's riding on the colt of an ass and being presented. And remember, again, as you read in the scriptures, we read in the New Testament, we read about the fact of Messiah and the people laying out their cloaks and laying out the branches in front of him and saying, Hosanna, is he who's coming in the name of the Lord. And there's that presentation of the Messiah who is coming to his temple and being recognized again as the king. He's coming, and you're not going to recognize him as a king by sitting on the foal of an ass, but you recognize him as the king because he's coming in fulfillment of prophecy that God said he's coming. And in each of these three presentations, God presents how he's going to come. God presents who it is that is coming so that people can have the option to respond or not, to recognize God's word, to recognize God's Messiah, to recognize the one who is God, the one who is king, and who is going to be ruler, who is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One thing about Daniel chapter 9 that we can say is that Messiah, the prince, would come before the destruction of the temple. Because the temple is destroyed, as you read in Matthew chapter 9. He's cut off, but not for himself. And then it says the temple will be destroyed. And if Yeshua coming before the destruction of the temple was not the Messiah, then there's no Messiah to come, according to the word of God. Because the temple destruction tells us that the opportunity is over. So he's coming as a babe. He's presented as the God, the glory, the Lord in the beginning. He's presented as the king as he rides into Jerusalem. And these have all been passed. But there's going to be another time coming when he doesn't have to be identified, when all who see him will recognize who he is. And the forthcoming, that which is yet future, we have in Zechariah chapter 12. It says in verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And as you tie this through the scriptures, through the rest of Tanakh, we are told about the son, the one with the white hair, and God coming in the clouds of glory. We are told that when Messiah and this coming, when he's going to be recognized, he's going to be coming in the air. Remember in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were looking up after Jesus was being caught up in the air after the resurrection and after his 40 days of ministry on this earth, and the angel stood there with them and said, this one will return, just as you see him leaving. And when he returns in the clouds of the air, at that point in time, our people will recognize him. They will see the one whom they have pierced. And as you read through, there will be great mourning in the land. There will be a fulfillment of Yom Kippur. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy when they will see him and they will say, we never knew. And there will be the weeping and the mourning because they have pierced the one whom God had sent. So there's three times there's the option to recognize him, to bow down before him because he's God, because he is the King, because he is the everlasting God, everlasting Father. He's the Almighty God. And then there's a time coming when you're not going to have the option. It's going to be too late. And I don't know what your heart is in relationship with the Lord tonight, but if you have not yet believed in the scriptures that have already been fulfilled about the Messiah who's coming, about the one who has come, who is King, who was proved to be who he said he was because God raised him from the dead in the resurrection. He did not allow his Holy One to see corruption. And if you're rejecting him, you need to receive him. You need to believe in Yeshua. You need to believe that he is who he says he is, that he came and that he died to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine, and that he rose again to prove he's exactly who he says he is. Because there's a day coming, and a day soon, when the opportunity is going to be gone to make a choice. God's very patient. God is much more patient than I am and would be, but there is a time when his time is going to come and he is going to return to set up his kingdom on this earth. So the decision is ours. And those of us who know him have the privilege just to be like John, to say he's the Yeshua, he's the Messiah, he's the one who died for your sins, he is God, he is the King, he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and he loves you. And he's just waiting for you to respond to him. Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your patience. Because, Lord, if you had run your time shorter, many of us that are here would never have come to know you and know we have eternal life with you. I pray you'll make us witnesses for you, to share the reality of Yeshua with others. And, Father, if there are any here who have not yet received Yeshua into their life as their Savior, may tonight be that night, and we'll give you the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen.